I tell people, like, attending the play now is like purchasing a day pass to a sex positive festival.
Yeah, right? That's like a good way to put it.
So many different things that you can experience. And if you don't feel like having sex that night, that's okay. Mm-hmm. We still have a path, like a non-sex path, where you can learn stuff, experience new things, have some great conversation.
Welcome to Sweet Release. Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Today, I'm excited. I have the owner, founder, starter of The Play LA, which is a play party in LA. Michael, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, my partner and I just went to your recent event. And so I definitely want to dive into the event itself. But before we do that, I would love to hear just kind of your background. Obviously, The Play is a play party. Like, how did you get into that space? And how did you get to, you know, starting your own company?
Yeah. Where to start? 1988, I was born. I was like, no, so I'd been in entertainment. Like, I grew up like a child actor. I did a lot of public speaking growing up as well. And so, you know, fast forward, I meet my wife and we become ethically non-monogamous. I was working in, I've been working in entertainment, whether producing like, I don't know, Super Bowl commercials and just a lot of stuff in television entertainment. And that's really what inspired me to do the play. Cause when my wife and I started getting into the ethical non-monogamous scene, or AKA the lifestyle, we went to so many parties and I was just surprised at the lack of effort that was put into the production and just the experience. It felt like almost like college. You know, it's like, all right, we get some lights in here, we get some people, add some alcohol, and we'll see what happens, you know? So having come from the entertainment and my production background, I was like, well, we can really jazz this up. Like, we can do a little bit better lighting. What if we had, you know, what kind of music should we have? Because I think sometimes at parties, you know, the DJ is a regular DJ, which is like, you know, they're here for the beat drop. And, you know, it's like kind of about like, you know, controlling the crowd and getting them hyped. And it's like, well, we don't really want that for a play party. You know, we want to like a chill vibe. So the way we got started is I just went to a bunch of parties and just was not feeling the vibe.
So you were like, how can I make this better? How can I
improve this? Mm-hmm. You know? And I think there's a culture out there, the swinger culture, you know, and I didn't really like the swinger culture of, you know, there's a couple and okay, well, she's into him, he's into her, but maybe I'm not into your partner as much as you're into mine, you know, but you're making this trade. And it felt like very transactional versus like, hey, if they're into each other, they can just hook up and we can experience compersion, you know? And it felt like a lot of times it's like an older crowd. I guess the parties that I was going to, I was like, where are all the millennials playing? Like, where's that happening at? So I was like, all right, let's try to do this. But also within a focus and an attention on like people's self-expression and the art behind this. Cause I think you go to play parties and, you know, you see people flogging there. You see them doing maybe like some electro play or all these different things, but it's not really like a focus put onto it. So I was like, all right, let's give these people a real stage. Like, what kind of lighting do you want? What kind of sound do you want? You know, is there a certain stage or atmosphere? Let's give you that space to express yourselves. And I think also by creating a space for art and sex, because I think those two energies come from the same place, mm-hmm. like that sexual energy and that creative energy. It also gives us something to talk about because you go to play parties and I always find myself like, what do I say?
You know,
like,
yeah,
exactly. Like, do I compliment your hair? Like me complimenting your hair? Do you think that means I want to have sex with you, or am I just giving you a hair compliment?
It's hard not to get in your head.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. So when you make it about something other than sex, it's easier. I think it adds the nuances to flirting, you know, where you can kind of talk about the art and then give a sign that like, okay, I'm kind of into you, you know?
Yeah, there was, I mean, I would love to get into the artistic side of it because I do think that's a beautiful part of your parties. And I think it's, like you said, that energy does feel like it's kind of hand in hand with sexual power and energy. But I'm curious, have you always been kind of an entrepreneurial, like, have you always had that spirit in you? Have you started other companies just out of curiosity?
Yeah, I think in college, I started like a recording studio. Me and her for low key entertainment.
Oh,
yeah, I've always
had kind of that boss energy.
Yeah, exactly. I remember in high school, I used to like sell candy to like my friends and the teachers, you know, just always kind of,
doing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
My first business was like hair extensions. Do you remember those feather hair?
Yes,
extensions?
I remember. I love those feather hair extensions. Yeah.
So I remember, yeah, starting my own little business and doing that on the side. But yeah, I saw you in your element at the recent party. And I was like, dang, he seems like he's just like, he's a boss. Like he knows what he's doing. He knows how to talk in front of people. He knows how to make people feel welcome. And so I was just curious if you always kind of had that vibe.
You know what I love about the play, like it truly is my passion. I feel it's my dharma. Like this is what I'm supposed to do. And it combines all of my past endeavors into one. Mm-hmm. You know, I was, I've been like captain of my sports teams, you know? So like getting a small team together around a huddle, like, hey guys, here's how we should execute. You know, mm-hmm. I've done the production side of like, okay, here's how we need to organize everyone. I was like student body president of my college, you know, University of Houston, go Cougs. You know, so that's like the public speaking. I'd have to speak in, you know, in front of like thousands of people or hundreds or small groups. So getting comfortable talking in front of people, you know, I've been in front of, like I said, I grew up doing entertainment, so I'd have to be in front of the camera a lot. So just getting comfortable in that space, knowing how to not make people feel awkward or like break the ice. So it kind of really just put all of the things that I was passionate about together, along with, you know, this ethically non-monogamous space. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And my big goal here is to really shift the culture of like play parties.
Yeah. And I think you're definitely doing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was such a beautiful event. I think the biggest thing that I took away from it is, yeah, I've been going to play parties since I moved to LA in like 2016, 2017.
Oh, where did this rank for you?
I think it was the best I've been to.
What?
Yeah. So the play, guys, you have to check it out.
Wow.
So one, the theme, are we allowed to like say the theme?
Yes.
Like,
first off, thank
whatever.
You for saying that.
Yeah. It was my favorite.
I gave her $20 before just
no,
to read out.
So what was the best part about it is, you know, the art. And I feel like, but also like the intention. I feel like every inch of the space, which one was like a beautiful penthouse suite in downtown LA, which was just stunning views. But the space itself, like every inch of it was curated to perfection for the theme, which was the Matrix. Mm. And it felt like it would have just taken days to like set up that space, maybe even weeks.
It took us, I think our setup team, we did about 12 hours worth of setup.
Just nonstop, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was our third time doing that theme. The Matrix theme is like our annual party. And so we've got it down to make it a lot quicker. There's some parties that take like 18 hours to set up.
Mm-hmm.
But that space, we try to lean into the vibe of that space. And that space is like, it's already downtown. And like, even the elevator going up feels like a Matrix-y mm-hmm. vibe, you know? And so that spot has some Matrix vibes already, but we just, you know, added a little more razzle dazzle. And
yeah, everything's sparkling and shining. And like, just the cool ambiance was really beautiful. And the music and...
Yeah, I think one of the things that kind of separates us from maybe other experiences. And I don't want to say that we're a better experience. We're just a different experience,
mm-hmm.
you know? So what makes us different is that from the second you come in, we want to like guide you through this. We want to hold your hand. So when you step in, you know, we're going to check you in at the door. We offered you like the red or blue pill, you
know? Yeah, that was cute. Little candy.
Something. And then we have what we call angels that'll take you from the door to like walk you around the space. Because there's so many times I'll go to play parties and I'm just like, I don't even know where the restrooms are,
exactly, you know, yeah.
Or like, is this area open yet? Or is it closed? What can I like interact with?
It just makes you feel more comfortable, especially since sex is sometimes makes people feel vulnerable and sensitive. So it, yeah, I loved that part. We had a sexy woman just bring us around, give us the tour, show us everything.
We call them angels. So yeah. They can, it's almost like your first hug when you get inside. Like, okay, mm-hmm. We get it. You're here. We get that you're nervous. At least we can show you around and say, hey, here's all the cool things you can interact with. And I think that's a big part of it too, is when you arrive during our happy hour time, that 8 to 10 time, we have these activation stations. So, you know, there was like electro play, there was fire play, mm-hmm. There was like the oracle that was giving you cards to give you like something to talk about. But those things allow us to connect with each other versus, you know, people are in this space, everybody's nervous, nobody knows what to talk about, right? So we try to really guide you through the experience. And, you know, like we say in the interviews, the first conversation you should have with everyone are, what are your boundaries? You know, I think that's a big way we're trying to change the culture here is like, what do you talk about at play parties? What should you be talking about? And for us, having that boundary conversation from the jump, because nobody goes into this space trying to like cross somebody's line, right? But if the lines aren't communicated, then there's opportunity for you to cross somebody's line unknowingly. So let's just get those boundaries out there first. You know, you approach that couple, hey, we're only playing with each other tonight. It's like, okay, well, I may tone down the flirting that I do with the partner now, uh-huh. Right? So I think that's a big thing, is just like making sure we're having certain conversations before we even get physical.
Yeah, you guys are big on consent. That's one of your main pillars. And I loved how you had, you know, your consent fairy as well, who did a nice, beautiful speech about that. And yeah, like in the interviews you mentioned, they talk a lot about consent and just make sure that we're all on the same page of like where our boundaries are as we're entering the space. But also, yeah, like those little cards that you gave us was a great way to kind of open up with unfamiliar faces and talk to people and hear what their boundaries are. So I loved that element as well.
Yeah. You know, part of our experience and kind of like what makes us different are our pillars. Health, consent, intimacy, and artistry. That's what we build this experience around. Health being number one, you know, we are one of the few play parties. I'm really only aware of our play party where you purchase a ticket to. Now, there's private parties that require STI testing, but we're the only one that I know of right now that requires STI testing prior to you joining the experience. And it has to be within 3 months of the party that you want to attend. And although that may seem like a lot of time, it's really like how we're trying to affect the culture of like, hey, if you want to be in this space, getting tested once per quarter, that's the norm.
That's the norm, yeah.
You know, so just like come join the culture, you know? Mm-hmm. And then a big thing that we do is we interview every single person that wants to attend. So even if, you know, I interview you, Barbie, and you're like, hey, I want to bring my plus one, you know, we got to interview your plus one as well.
Yeah,
right. Not just like trusting. Yeah. People like, hey, no, they're cool. Trust us. You know? So, and part of the interview process, it's not so much of like this strict interview. It's really a conversation, right? To where you now have a human, you know, cause we offer a very human experience. So we have to inject humanity into the onboarding as well. Not just like, hey, click this button. Oh, you read our consent policy, you know, check that off. Like, you know, how many times does Apple send me a contract where I'm just like, yeah, agree. You know,
like, so true.
So like, let's really talk you through this to where, yes, we're going to ask you a few questions to figure out like maybe where you're at in this process. Are you new to the lifestyle? Because it's a different conversation if this is your first party versus this is your 20th party, mm-hmm. Right? But it's also a conversation to where like, do you have any questions for us? And so many times, you know, especially newer couples or individuals, they're filled with questions and sometimes they're embarrassed to type it out, you know, or, you know, to put that on their application. So like when we give them a face, they're usually like, okay, hey, I've been dying to ask this question. Can I, you know, what's going, how many people are going to be there? Or what's this space look like? Or how should I dress? It's like, oh, don't even worry about how you dress. Mm-hmm. Like if you come in something, great. But like, you know, if all goes to plan, we're not going to really care what costume you brought.
Yeah. As long as you feel good.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we tell people. It's like, whatever you feel sexy in. So if it's a full suit that makes you feel sexy, awesome. Yeah.
It's lingerie, do that, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and then the artistry, I would love to talk about that because my favorite, I had a few favorite parts of the night, like obviously riding my partner in the corner of the room was fun at one point. We didn't play with anyone, but we had like just such a good night. I got to experience, like you talked about, there was like electro play in one area, there was fire play in another area, but then there were these like artistic performances throughout the night, which was really beautiful. And I just thought that I had been to a party, you know, years ago that had a similar vibe. But what I really loved about yours was that you also got the audience like involved a little bit. And so I got to pour some hot wax on a beautiful woman suspended with rope. I think that was the highlight of my night, honestly. The fire play was pretty epic too, but yeah, I love that part.
So that's kind of one of the things that makes us unique as well. There's a lot of parties that have performances that happen there. With us, you submit your fantasy and then we try to make it come true. So that was that woman's fantasy, you know, to have the wax poured on her. She's a friend of mine. And, you know, we talked about, she wanted to do a performance. I was like, okay, well, what do you want to do? And like, okay, we can do Shibari, like, but how can we do maybe some crowd engagement? Is there anything like you want to experience while you're suspended? And she's like, you know, I've been wanting to play with wax. I was like, okay, well, what if we shined a black light on it and we had like, you know, neon rope that went with the Matrix vibe. So we have this green neon rope and there's like a web and then we get the neon green wax. Yeah. So it pops when we pour it on. She's like, love it. You know, so
that's your production side going strong.
Exactly.
So beautiful.
Cause I think we can always just add these fun twists to it to make it not as, what's the word? I think, you know, when people think of like BDSM, you know, they think of like this dungeon vibe and it's like dark and like, you know, it's like what you kind of see on Pornhub when you look up BDSM, you know? So I really want to change the narrative of like, there's so many cool ways for us to not just like do, whether it's Shibari or impact play, like we can make it creative. We can make it, and you know, get other people involved versus just like watching this thing happen. I've been to so many parties where it's like, okay, we're watching it happen. Like, cool. You know,
like now I'm a little warm and wet, but it would have been nice.
I want to interact with, interact with the art, you know, like let's create an art piece together. So once you guys took a step back, you know, everybody saw, like, look at all these cool contributions from, you know, we started putting the ice on her to cool her down. Then we put the wax on her to heat it up. And then he spun her around and everybody got to see like where each person had dripped wax and like, you know, the different body parts they went to.
I had to make sure I got her titty a little bit.
That's right.
Like, gotta do that part. That's the sensitive part. Truly it made the night also, I feel like it just helps you kind of feel more comfortable as well as you're all being able to interact. And you also did like a little icebreaker. And I felt like I said, everything was just like curated to perfection and just really made it feel just like this intentional, beautiful, like artistic experience.
Our goal is, you know, it's almost to reverse engineer the play party because I think a lot of times you'll go to a play party, you kind of have a conversation, maybe you play with someone, but then as the night goes on, it's like you maybe connect with them more. You know, there's been times where it's like after I played with someone, that's when I actually had a great conversation with them after, you know. What we're trying to do is like, let's focus on the connection part, right? Like, and how do you authentically connect people, right? And I think by giving them the art, right, it adds the nuances to flirting. Like it's giving us something to talk about other than ourselves, you know, because everybody can get caught up talking about like work or, you know, what's going on in their lives right now. And I think by giving making the art the focus is big. I think the other part is our intimacy exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of like a group icebreaker, and it's consensual. If you don't want to do the group icebreaker, like, you don't have to. But when you do the, usually we have like eye gazing with three or four strangers. And what I love about that is that it allows space for, you know, there's verbal and then there's nonverbal connections. And there's a lot of people, when they get into this space, they freeze up. You know, not everybody's good with their words at a sex party, mm-hmm. right? Like, maybe you're good at a bar, but like at a sex party, it's a little different. Not everybody's an extrovert, you know? So providing opportunities for people to connect without having to say something clever or funny, just like sit there, take someone in. And it's not like the 2 minute eye gaze where you're like, you know, weeping at the person. Like, what are these deep reflections of each other? Yeah. It's just, you know, 30 seconds, you know, you don't have to wink at them. You don't have to like smile, just like take that person in, you know,
connect. Yeah. Like you said.
And then, and you know, we'll do like a couple of breaths there, you know, just like relaxing into that. But the big part of this is when you get to that fourth person or the third person that you eye gaze with, we exchange our dibs, the desires, intentions, and boundaries for the night. And I think this is like a big one. And another way we're kind of shifting this culture of, how many times do you get to a party, a play party, and you say, this is what I desire tonight, right? Mm-hmm. I've been to so many play parties, but I'm not saying, hey, I would actually like to experience this tonight. Saying that to someone, like sometimes what I do desire is experienced, but rarely am I saying it out loud. And I think by saying it out loud, like, you know, if you're like, hey, Michael, I'd like to be tied up tonight. Like, well, Barbie, I'm not the Shibari guy, but I know the mm-hmm. Shibari guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I can definitely introduce you to him now that I know. Or when I'm in the party, I see somebody else being tied up, I can just tap you on your shoulder like, hey, remember you said you want to experience this? Like, here you go.
That's your guy.
Yeah.
It's almost like manifesting too, you know, or like dreaming. Like, you can't really dream big or experience your dreams when you don't actually verbalize it and know what you want.
That is exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I am big on, you know, speaking things into existence. So like, say it out loud what you want to experience, mm-hmm. you know, sensually, sexually, right? We are at a sex party. Say like, what's the thing that you really want to experience while you're here, mm-hmm. right? Let's talk about it. And then intentions. Why are you here tonight? Mm-hmm. You know, me and my partner just want to experience something new in nightlife. Like, you know, you and Hunter came to the party, and it's okay that I say,
yeah.
Okay, cool. So you and Hunter came to the party, and look, you didn't play with anybody else, right? And that's totally fine. But like, you got to experience just something new, right?
Like, yeah, it's like, what? This is a great Saturday night out where you're in this beautiful, sexy, sensual space. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people are in the same boat. Like, sometimes, especially if it was their first time, like maybe they didn't get the opportunity to play or get naked, but still, like, who wouldn't want to go to something that's curated like as you did? And so it's just, it's another option of something, like you said, like a nightlife activity.
Exactly. It's just like, here's a cool option, a fun, sexy option. We're mm-hmm. going to respect everybody's boundaries. Mm-hmm. But why'd you guys come tonight? You know, telling somebody that. And then lastly, we make you say your boundary out loud to someone else. Mm-hmm. No matter what, everybody that attends the play is going to say their boundary out loud to one other person. And I think that's a big part of, you know, how we're trying to shift this culture, where at a play party, you should be vocalizing your boundaries, right? Because if we don't talk about our boundaries, it just opens up way more opportunities for people to cross your boundaries. And so another big reason we have you do your boundaries, it's almost like, you know, midway through the first part of the part, you know, the first like half, it's to ground you back into the experience, mm-hmm. right? Like, you just saw like fire spankings, electro play. People are walking around like half and fully naked. It's like, whoa, a lot is going on. But by saying your boundary out loud, it just grounds you back into the experience to be like, oh yeah, I'm here with my partner. Mm-hmm. We're only going to play with each other. You know, I'm seeing a lot. Maybe my boundaries expand, but here are my lines. And I'm at least saying it to one other person. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of our experience, is just making sure that boundaries are communicated so that we can create an environment around respecting people's boundaries.
I think it's so important because, you know, for us, obviously, we were having these conversations for weeks before the party, mm-hmm. but not a lot of people know to do that still. And it's tough for some people to have those conversations ahead of time. So to for y'all to, like, when people get there, to have that space to just take the time, even if it's just a few minutes, to really vocalize it, like you said, I think really does ground you and remind you your intentions.
One of the things we do in the interview process, one of the questions we ask are, what are your boundaries? Mm-hmm. Right. So we're going to get you thinking about it prior to even coming to the
That's
party.
That's right. You did. Right. Yeah.
Like, what are your boundaries? Because there's times during that interview where it's like, well, we haven't really talked about that. It's like, okay, that doesn't mean you can't come to the party, but now you have an exercise to do prior to you arriving. Mm-hmm. Because when you get to the party, the expectation is that you say your boundaries out loud.
Yeah, you know? Should know them by the time
exactly.
you're there.
We have some red flags. Like, you know, if you're interviewing for our party and you're like, oh, well, I don't have any boundaries. Like, either you haven't been in the space long enough to understand, like, what your boundaries really are. You haven't seen enough, you know, because once you get deeper into this space, it's like, look, I don't want to be shit on. Yeah. You know, that's a boundary for me right now. So we want to make sure that, like, you know, what we'll do, especially for couples who are new to the space and, like, still trying to figure out their boundaries, we'll have them do an exercise. You know, we'll say, hey, look, both of you guys in separate rooms, write down your boundaries for each other, for yourself and for each other, and then come together to figure out, like, where in that Venn diagram they overlap and talk it through, like, which ones are going to be hard boundaries, which ones you're willing to have a conversation about.
Yeah, that's a great exercise. I do that similarly with some couples, like, workshops I've done. You know, it's always perfect to, you know, have your time separately to really think and digest and sometimes even write out, you know, to get it on paper. But then when you come together, it's like, okay, now let's figure out, like, what are the senses? What are kind of the ways that we can, like you said, overlap or intersect?
Yep. And it's important that you do it separately because people are so influential, you know, in the relationship. Like, well, if she's saying she doesn't want to do this, that means I don't want to do it either. Like, no. Put your boundaries out there, you know, put your desires out there because maybe there's a desire that, you know, you've never expressed that individual may want to express as well. But because you were just following what they wanted to do, you know, that itch never got scratched, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it's a great way to learn about each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, my biggest fantasy or desire for the night was to hopefully find a sexy couple for us to explore.
Ooh, okay.
For the first time. We haven't done couples. We've done some group play scenarios, but never like a couple. But yeah, it just wasn't a fuck yes for us throughout the night. So yeah. We just kind of were like, oh, well, unfortunately it won't happen, but next time.
I think, like, when people first get to the play, I think they're just overwhelmed with, like, the amount of things you can do. You know, there's so many different paths that you can go down. And even during the playtime, we'll have workshops happening at the same time. So, like, if you don't feel like playing, go to a workshop.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that too. So perfect segue. Yeah, there's options, which I think is so special too. And I've never been to a party where that's, like, you can educate yourself and learn, which is one of my main purpose is too, not just to normalize pleasure, but to empower people and educate people. So yeah, could you talk about some of the workshops and is that something you do at every party?
Yes, that is. We started that, I would say, like, late last year, but definitely this year we're really going down the workshop path. I went to LIB,
nice.
Lightning in a Bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And at Lightning in a Bottle, you know, I'm like, I go to Coachella like every year with a group of friends. Big on going to festivals, but LIB was the first festival that I went to where during the day they were doing workshops. And like the workshops were just so random. You know, I challenged myself. It's like, okay, let's go to a workshop that's going to make you feel like super uncomfortable, you know? So I went to like intro to belly dancing and I was just in there getting it, you know, these hips didn't lie. but I really liked that. You can either go listen to music or you can go to a workshop and learn because I think some people are just, you know, that's the kink, right? Like learning something new, maybe learning a new kink.
Learning a new passion.
Yeah, exactly. learning something, you know, this new, you know, sexual move or adding something to your repertoire. So this, at this workshop, the workshops for this one, we try to base them on the theme as well. And this is what I love, you know, when I talk to the workshop people, it's like, okay, like last one was the Tantra party. So the place Tantric Temple. So we did like a lot of Tantra based stuff, like yoni massages, you know, like, hey, there's ways to interact with your yoni without like it being pleasure. Like also the masculine knowing how to like give a yoni a massage. It's not just about like penetration. Like there's a way to make your partner feel good without like the goal of sex, you know,
penetration.
Yeah, exactly. So at this party, with it being the Matrix, you know, I had a really great conversation with the people who host the workshop. So one was intro to Shibari, because we had some, we had Shibari happen at the party. So it's like, hey, if you really like that, you know, the guy who did that is happy to do, you know, a Shibari workshop for like an hour. And then we did bedroom kung fu.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yep. You get to learn some new
bedroom kung fu, learn some new moves. Yeah, exactly. And then another one that I really loved was Beyond the Matrix, I think was the title of it. But what it was is for the Wachowski brothers. Well, they started off as the Wachowski brothers when they first made the first three Matrix, the directors, and then they became the Wachowski sisters. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's such a cool, you know, idea of how they went from masculine to feminine. And so I was like, what if we did a workshop where all the men there, we did a workshop for the men, they're the people who showed up in their masculine, mm-hmm. dove into their feminine. And the people who showed up in their feminine, you know, explored their masculine.
Yeah, learned how to tap into the opposite.
Exactly, exactly. So that was like, that's how, you know, the theme inspired that workshop.
Yeah, once again, genius.
it was a cool, you know, I think that's the fun of this. Mm-hmm. That's what I really love about
this.
Well,
that's the creative part too. That's the fun. Yeah. That's kind of the fun part for me too, as I'm tapping into, you know, my creative energy, yeah. is having fun with the posts and the editing. Like that part is creative and fun for me. So I can imagine that for you, it's the same thing.
This is what I love about it. It's like, you know, I rarely play at the party. I'm just so into like, okay, how can we make this like the most interesting, you know, experience that people like. Our goal every party is to throw the best play party our guests have ever experienced.
Well, you did that for us. So yeah. That's cool.
thank you. But that's the intention. Like that's the intention I want everybody on my team to have, is like, hey, we're giving this really awesome experience. And when you're doing this service to our community, the feedback that we get, it's really why we do it. Mm-hmm. You know, when people saying this was quite literally the most, you know, this was life-changing, this was transformative, this was the most liberated I've ever felt in any environment. I've never experienced this level of freedom. Like when we get those type of responses, like I've had so much healing. I've never, you know, I went to a play party and experienced trauma. This is the first time I've been to a play party and like I healed at this party. And we're like, whoa. You know, there's somebody sent us a Bible verse. I was like, I didn't, yeah. Wasn't the intention, but, you know, shout out to Jesus and the gang.
That's amazing.
You know, but that's the true intention here, is like, we want to create this experience of, you know, freedom of sexuality, freedom of expression. But also we hope that something happens internally of like, man, if whether it's healing, whether it's freeing, or transformative. I think play parties can be so much more than just like this physical experience. Mm-hmm. You know, my saying is, yes, people think they come to play parties for the sex, but in actuality, they come for the pillow talk, right? They want that vulnerable connection, mm-hmm. to where we can just be ourselves. We can ask the questions that we're like scared to ask, like, hey, how do you operate in a threesome, you know, when it feels like one person is getting too much attention, you know? You can ask that to a group of 20 people and like somebody will be like, hey, yeah. I like it when, you know, like I think with guys, when we go to play parties, It's like, my penis has to be hard the whole time. Like, if anybody mm-hmm. sees my penis at not fully erect, like, I will be ashamed. It's like, I want to create a space where, like, yo, you can walk around with a limp dick and feel totally fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like, women, you can let it all out. Like, you don't have to suck in your stomach. Like, just be here with everyone, you know? And I think that's the other part about the play that's unique is the diversity, right? That was a big reason. One of the reasons I created is I would go to so many of these spaces. I'm like, man, am I the only Black guy here? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not even seeing any Black women. I'm seeing like maybe a few Asian people here as well. Like, these spaces are kind of white, you know? And I don't think it's intentionally that way, but I do think, you know, these spaces have to have intention by wanting there to be diversity. You know, and so as you notice at the party, there wasn't like one of anything, you know, and that's really a space I'm trying to create as well, is like where diversity and inclusion, and it's not just diversity of ethnicity, it's like shapes and sizes.
Yes, I love that.
Right? Like, you saw people of different shapes and sizes, couples, like, you know, there's, you know, some older individuals there, you know, older couples, not just like older guy with young woman, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's older couples there. There's, you know, people in their early 20s there, like just exploring this space. And shout out to Gen Z. I love this generation, like with all the titles and their just willingness to show up authentically at that age is beautiful. It's inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. And that is so true. And I noticed that as well, the diversity. I felt like you also have talked about that too, in your business and creating art and, you know, media and stuff. It's like you focus on diversity, which I think is so important.
Yeah. That's what makes it, I think that's what I love about Los Angeles, mm-hmm. is like the diversity. And I'm not saying like, you know, the play isn't, you know, the Black party, the white party, the Asian or the, you know, queer. It's the party for artists, right? And I grew up in Los Angeles, so I want the makeup of the play to look like the makeup of Los Angeles, mm-hmm. right? So if there's 40% white people in Los Angeles, then yeah, our party's 40% white, you know, but there's still like a large Latino population. There's a large Black population. There's a large Asian population. Like, we have this awesome melting pot. So the play party should be representative of that melting pot. And when that happens, you know, you saw Kimo, he's an Asian man who's doing Shabari, you know, mm-hmm. like Shabari is from his culture, you know,
yeah.
I don't know if he's Japanese, so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speak out of term, but point is that when you get these cultures together, like, it's so beautiful to see them interact with each other. And, you know, the beautiful thing, like our fire guy, he, you know, Latino, has like Mayan roots, you know? So he does like a fire performance that's like super, like, he has this one that's like super Mayan, has like the face paint and everything. And like, it is a whole experience where it was like, whoa, I've seen like fire performance, but I've never seen somebody do it like that. Like, that looked like straight out of
something,
you know, yeah, Latin America. Like, that was like super, like, I, you know, he was like, yeah, like, for me to do this one, like, I have to, he told me, like, before I could do this performance, like, I have to like do you know, like 20 minutes of just like mental preparation and like really get connected to my ancestors before I go. And I was like, however much time you need, you know, like if that's what we're getting here, like, please take your time.
You ever experienced fire play?
Oh yeah. That's how I get waxed. Like,
let's talk about fire play, because I've mentioned it before and I've never like described like the exact like act and what kind of goes into it.
Yeah. So there's the one that we do often at the play is like where these, I think they're like kerosene bubbles. Like, mm-hmm. it's this bubble machine, right?
I've never seen that before. It was
yeah.
cool,
so they get this bubble machine and then they get the bubbles and like you can hold it in your hand and then they light it and the bubbles will just burn up. Like,
right.
just like that. And if it like lasts a little longer, just kind of like get it off your hand. But what's cool is like he'll do this if asked, but fire spanking. So they'll get like some of the bubbles, put it on your butt, and then he'll light it. And then right when he lights it, pop, you know? And so it's like, you get feel the heat and then a smack. And it's like, whoa, that was a lot of sensation there. And every time I do the fire play, you know, at the party, and like, I'll do it just like get the party started. Like, look guys, here's another cool thing you can do, but it burns all the hairs off my butt. So it's a nice little wax during the party.
Nice. Love it. Yeah. The first time I experienced fire play, it was alongside flogging. So it was like fire and flogging.
Yes.
And I liked that sensation. Like you said, yeah, it's just like,
did you get a chance to go into the Electro PlayStation?
No, but we have an Electro.
Okay.
Kit.
So you already know. So, yeah.
So we have like the same thing that they had. Yeah. We were actually in a little, small group, and people were talking about it, and I was like, oh yeah, you got to check it out. We were talking about the different kinds and how you can, you know, touch your partner while they're getting jazzed and, or, you know, shocked and feel the electricity through your lips or whatever.
Yes.
It is, you
oh
know?
My goodness.
So I was like, you got to play with that energy. Don't just like accept it on your body. You have to like touch and like connect with each other to like feel the lingering, you know, shock.
And I think that's, you know, I tell people like attending the play now is like purchasing a day pass to a sex positive festival.
Yeah. Right? That's
like
a good way to put it.
So many different things that you can experience. And if you don't feel like having sex that night, that's okay. Mm-hmm. We still have a path, like a non-sex path, where you can learn stuff, experience new things, have some great conversation. Because I don't think, you know, the sex party needs to be focused completely on sex. It's like, if we're not having sex, what are we doing here? You know, it's like, no, there's so many cool aspects to discover and explore. So that's what, you know, the space that we want to create. And like I said, there's so many different flavors of play parties out there. You know, I still love going to my friends' house parties, mm-hmm. you know, and they're, you know, set up to where like, hey, you come in, but you know, sometimes a lot of people know each other there, which is cool, you know, seeing your friends, at play parties. So I like all the different structures of it, but if you want to try something new, you know, come check out the play.
Yeah, I do think the play is a perfect kind of like first experience or just, yeah, if you're feeling like you're sick of the parties that you've been going to, like just to spice it up and try something new. Because like you said, it's like your sexual energy is so vast and expansive. And so it's like tapping into that energy can just be really beautiful.
That's exactly it. And so we want to create a space for not just like beginners to feel comfortable, but also like, you know, the intermediate to advanced people to come and like, hey, I've been in play spaces all the time. I'm yet to get a fire spanking, you know, or I'm yet to experience electro play like this. Or, you know, for the couple that's new, it's like, okay, well, we're not ready to play, but like, we can just go to workshops all night, babe. Like we can go discover, you know, go learn something versus like maybe you're not in the 10 person, you know, pile. So we're just trying to create avenues for everybody to enjoy themselves. And then create, you know, some fun things, you know, like this last party, we've served some hot, freshly baked cookies at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, you know? Like I love doing that in my personal life, yeah. Making cookies at 3 a.m. So that's such a perfect perk.
Yeah.
And you guys had delicious food and fruit and gummy bears and candy and sandwiches and pre-rolls. Like that was my favorite part, was at like 2 a.m. like smoking a joint outside with the skyline. I was yeah. like, this is
yeah,
epic.
free pre-rolls. And then also you guys got one of the goodie bags.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, the goodie bags was one of those, and they keep telling me I need to call it swag bags. Goodie bags sounds childish, but like, it's my inner child coming out. I just used to
they're
love
goodies.
Yeah, I used to love like when you go to birthday parties growing up, and it's like, here's a goodie bag to take home, and then you're in, it's like, oh my God, like there's some candy, there's like a game. So these goodie bags, like in most goodie bags, will always include like a joint and some matches. Mm-hmm. And so I think what I love about the goodie bags, like you get home and it's like, oh my God, like they're adult toys in there, right? Mm-hmm. Like a joint, like at our last party for the Play's Tantric Temple, we had, you know, a joint, matches, Palo Santo, mm-hmm. And a bag of tea.
Oh, nice.
Oh, and a candle, okay. Right? So we gave you a whole vibe to when you got home, like you could just have some tea, like
yeah,
you smoke
got
your
all joint, the elements
burn
there.
Some Palo Santo, like that was a good time, you know, like when it gave you that. And this one, I think we gave people the joint, matches, a sticker, some candy. We had some custom made M&Ms, red and blue M&Ms to symbolize the, and had our like a little logo on it. And then also we gave you one of those like metal, mind games.
Yeah, it's a game.
Yeah, you're trying. You have to like undo the two pieces, and all of them are kind of different.
We haven't been able to figure them out yet. I mean, you gotta take some time.
You know, those things are one of those things where you like hold it in your hand one day, and you're just like playing around, and it automatically comes up loose. Yeah. You're like, wait, how'd I do it? I don't know. So
you also had massage tables, which I told myself I was like, all right, that's gonna be me at 3 a.m., but we never did it. But that's yeah, we a had beautiful perk. As
two
well.
Two masseuses there. If you're tense, like yo. Relax.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just had like a long session. You need a little massage after that, you know, like just, this should feel like, you know, it's a playground is what we're creating. That's like the play. It's like a quadruple entendre. It's not just like, you know, play is for sex. Play is also like for performances. Like there's a play going on in a sense, you know, there's also just, you know, playing with each other. It's an adult playground. You know, and then there was like, you know, the slang of like, what's the play for tonight? You know, that's
the play. And the music, we have to talk about the music.
Oh, shout out to DJ Z. Z is just, you know, he's been our DJ for a while. He is awesome and a good friend of mine. I consider him a brother. But what I love about the music that we do there is that it's not focused on like the beat drop. Mm-hmm. Right. It's just like, we're just trying to keep a vibe going. Cause I think sometimes like, you know, I go to play parties, especially bigger ones where it's like the DJ's just in it. Like, okay guys, I'm taking you on a fucking ride. You know, let's get up and dance. Like, nah, I want like music sexy. For like, yeah. Like I want to like, what's the DJ for like when we're having sex? Like who's that guy to where we can keep us in this little sexy zone. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, my favorite thing is when like DJs are alongside like a live musician or something.
Yes.
And so the violin was like,
shout out to Fabrice and Mari. We had dual violinists there.
So epic.
Yeah, the violinists are, I mean, Fabrice, he is a good friend of mine, one of the best violinists I've ever, you know, heard. And so he's been, I think, with us for over a year now. And, you know, not at every party, but he just adds a certain, it's like when, you know, the individual who did the Shabari, she's like, hey, I want to do the Shabari performance. And I've got like this guy that's going to tie me up. I was like, okay, cool. Like, and then we'll have people interact with it like this. But like, what if we add the violinist to that? Like, we didn't even play a song. Like the violinist just did his thing during that. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. So now we have this, you know, we're attacking all the senses.
Exactly. You know? All of the senses are being heightened and it's just like a perfect cocktail of pleasure.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it really was great. And that's where I was at the beginning of the night, was just the dance floor for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And it was fun because it was like mostly women on the dance floor and we were all just vibing. And the one of the violinists was just like, you know, rapping around one of the women. Like,
oh yeah, Madi. He's
so sexy. Yeah. I'm like, wow, I never thought to like engage with the audience as he's playing, but like in a sensual way. I was like, this is incredible.
We had a pop-up performance, I want to say at like 2:30, where both the violinists played together and then we gave everyone ribbons.
Okay.
You know, so now we have like 20 people dancing with ribbons while, fun. You know, but just, you know, this, that's not a planned performance. Just like, okay, they're playing. We had some ribbons. Like, let's see what happens. Like, people participate, they don't. We'll see what happens and boom. But look, we talked about, you know, the good things. Is there any areas of improvement? You know?
Oh,
any?
Wow. I didn't think about that. No, honestly, nothing comes to mind. I really thought it was perfectly executed. Honestly, I loved it.
Thank you.
There was one point where I was like, oh, I wish I could have one more margarita, but the bar closes at midnight. But
and that's, I look, like, I am
half smart. Thing. Yes. I love that part too. Maybe we should talk about that too. You know, you guys are big on consent. And I've been to parties where there has been uncomfortable situations with guests because they were so fucked up and they crossed boundaries and I witnessed it or was a part of it. And so I love that part too. We learned that in the interview process where you guys like are conscious of alcohol and the bar was only, you know, for a couple hours.
Bar is open till midnight or until we run out. and we get like, we're not trying to get enough liquor to last us through the night. It's mm-hmm. like enough for everybody to have like one to two drinks.
Right.
Right. Like that's the reason, you know, and that's why, you know, we have three rules for when you enter the party, right? No phones, no money, no hierarchy. Mm-hmm. No phones is obvious, like just.
Yeah, you don't want us. That. Yeah.
Yeah. And we
check
make
it
people,
at the door.
We make people check it. Cause a lot of parties are like, oh, just put it in your pocket or like, just go put it over there in your cubby. And it's like, do they put their phone in their cubby though?
Yeah, you got to check it.
You know, who's actually watching to make sure the phone goes in the cubby, right? But the no money part, like, we don't want you tipping our bartenders. Mm-hmm. You know, like, everybody's taken care of. We don't want you touching money than, like,
touching
somebody's genitals. Yeah, like, you know, because I go to so many parties where it's like, oh, yeah, it's an open bar or BYOB, but then they have the tip jar. So it's like, because of the tip jar, now you're encouraging somebody to, like, to get some cash out mm-hmm. and put it in there. And then who knows?
Yeah, the germs, the,
come
yeah.
on, we all know how COVID happened, right? So, but yeah, you know, the bar is really so that you have something that feels normal, mm-hmm. you know, because you get into this space and it's super different. So by having like a cup, it's like, here's my cup. I'm comfortable with my cup. I've got a cup in my hand, you know, like would I'll have a little drink maybe to break the ice a little bit. But we're not, the bartenders are counting drinks. We're like, if we see that you're too messed up and you can't give consent, like, we're just going to ask you to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't that kind of party. And you, as you know, we announced that during the party. It's like, hey guys, just another warning.
Yeah.
Don't get too messed up. Right. This is a drug-free space, right? So don't.
Yeah, I liked that element. I did. Yeah. And the cups too. Like, we had cups with our names all written on them upon arrival.
Stainless steel cups. We're reducing our carbon footprint. All right.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, the cups with the names, there's a few reasons for that. Like, I'm notorious for forgetting people's names. You know, I do a lot of interviews, you know, as the play was getting started, it's like, I'm doing all the interviews, you know?
Right, in the beginning.
Yeah. So it's like, man, like, I know your face, you know? But you know, sometimes you forget somebody's name, and especially at these parties where you're being super intimate with people and people can feel some kind of way. It's like, yo, we just hooked up. How do you not remember my name? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that I don't remember. Like, I remember the whole hookup. Like, it was great. You know, I know your energy. I know your soul, but I'm like, I forgot your name. So, we put everybody's names on the cups just so like you can keep track of your cup. You know which cup is yours. You're not like drinking out of somebody else's. Mm-hmm. And then also it's like, man, if you did forget somebody's name, you can just like look at their cup and it's like, boom, okay, there it is. Yeah. And it feels so good when somebody remembers your name, you know, especially in this environment too. And, you know, there's been so many people that come up to me and was like, bro, thank you so much for putting people's names on the cup. I hooked up with this woman and, you know, I was like super into her and I was trying to get her number, but I just forgot her name. And thank God she was holding her cup. I got her cup. And then at the end of the party, like, I got her name. It was like, it works out so good. Thank you so much. I was like, that's it. This is one of the
I'm
reasons
here for
I do
you.
It. Yeah. Like, I got it. Yeah. It's
amazing. Well, there was one more thing, element of the party, and then I want to talk a little bit about you before we wrap up, but the photography too. Oh. I thought that was really cool. Like, there was a small room that you could go in and get like professional photographs taken, which unfortunately we signed up for it. And then the night escaped us as well. But we talked to a few couples that did it at the last party, I think. Mm-hmm. And they were like, dude, they were so incredible. And I just think, again, that's like another central element where you can like experience and have a great connection with your partner and something that you can't get every day.
Yeah. You know? So we've added this element to the last two parties. And, you know, how many times are you going to be dressed up all sexy with your partner or by yourself and have someone that's ready to do a photo shoot?
Yeah. Like have professional photos.
Professional, sexy photos. Not like, hey, here's a, you know, here's a ring light in front of our, you know, banner. Like, go ahead, take a picture. Cause we do have that option to when you arrive. Like, if you want to get a picture in front of our banner, great. But if you really want to get some sexy content, mm-hmm. like, we can get you that content as well. You know, we got a professional photographer there. Shout out to my boy Cheyenne. And then also, she goes by Trouble. That's who did the photography at this last one.
Nice.
She works with Cheyenne. And I mean, the pictures, they'll be, you know, they'll be released and we'll make sure everybody gets them. But yeah, it you want to add that element as well to where, you know, you're just walking around the party and like, you know, the photo booth or like the photo studio was like kind of like in the cut.
Yeah,
exactly. Like kind of to stumble upon it. Like, is this a whole fucking photo shoot happening in here? Like, absolutely. Like, are you ready? So just getting those shots, especially what I love is seeing like couples or even just friends, like, hey, let's get some like sexy pictures together.
I saw two girls that we were talking to earlier in the night come out and they were like, we just had the best shoot ever. I was like, oh, it's so cute. It's fun to see that energy. And again, it's like playful energy, like the play, that's the vibe. But yeah, it's just also just you're paying for this ticketed event too, right? So you're investing money into it. So to get all of these perks, I think also makes it so worth it.
Well, that's the part. It's like, I think when people sometimes see our prices, they'll be like, oh my God, I'm not sure I can afford that. And then there's never a person that comes to the play and it's like, that wasn't worth the money.
Right.
Like everybody's like, whoa, this was way more than I expected.
And that's what you want. You want people to come out being happy with like.
That's the cool part is, you know, we've sold out of every party for the last 3 years, you know? So when people are like, well, I don't know if it's worth the price. Like it's fine. If it's not for you right now, you'll just hear from your friends. And eventually
you'll save.
You'll come. We want to be treated like Disneyland, right? Like maybe you go to Disneyland once or twice a year, like save up for us, you know, but there's other parties out there that are like, you know, $5,000 for a couple to go, you know, it's like 800 for a single guy to go. And, you know,
you guys aren't that expensive.
No. For a male identifying guest, it is $360. For a female identifying guest, it's $140. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're that price is we're in a society where like women are making like what, like 70, 72 cents on the dollar to the male. So like we can't have them equal prices. And then also what we find is like women are getting their hair done, their nails done, they're getting waxed, they're getting an outfit just for this event. Like it's all their eyebrows, like all the little things, you know, add up. And so it eventually, versus the guy who's like, I may get a haircut and like, I'll wear that shirt today, you know, that's already in my closet. And that's just what we found with our demographic, you know? So that's why it's that price. And then also like, I want to make sure my team is taken care of as well. There's a lot of people, like, as you saw, there's like 30 people that make this thing happen. Right.
Yeah. You have a whole team behind it now, which I'm sure is so exciting for you. Now you can maybe take a step back a little, but you were still in the.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm still running the show.
I'm in it. But like we're getting, you know, you had Allie on the show from Passport to Pleasure, right? Like Allie has her own company and she still works with the play, right? There's other people that used to be a part of other parties and they come to the play once and it's like, look, I want to join this team. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that, cause it's not just like, oh, these are Michael's friends. Like these are people that I met in the space, you know, they were the top of their game in this space. And so like, we're bringing them on. And so, to have the quality individuals, the quality team, we gotta pay them, you know, for their time and their energy. And, I never want people, especially on my team, to feel taken advantage of, you know, I want them to feel respected and honored for their time and the energy that they put forth because they help create the vibe.
Yeah. Again, the intention behind it is beautiful.
Yeah.
So I appreciate what you do.
We do the party every, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, you know? So it's like, save up for the play, right? Like save up because our goal when you attend is for it to be the best play party you've ever been to. So just know that's what we're shooting for when you're spending the money. Like that's our goal. So let's see if we can do that for you.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you for all of that. I would love to ask you just a couple questions about you because you know, you are in the place party space. So, and you said you're in an ethical non-monogamous relationship.
Marriage.
Marriage. Yeah. And I have never had the pleasure to meet your wife.
She was there. She's the one who checked you in.
She was there?
The one that offered you the redder blue pills.
Okay.
She's getting people at the door.
Love it. Because you guys kind of, did you start the company kind of together?
Mm-hmm. She's one of the founders as well. We started this 6 years ago now. And we've been ethically non-monogamous for 7 years. And, you know, we started off, we got married as an ethically non-monogamous couple. you know, I think a lot of couples like get into the space and then become ethically non-monogamous. So,
yeah, after some time.
Exactly. So this is like where we started. And we've just grown a lot in this space. You know, I don't know too many couples. I know a lot of couples who have been in the space ethically non-monogamous for a while. It's a lot of work, a lot of check-ins, a lot of just good communication. I love that woman with every bone in my body. I couldn't do the play without her. So it's been amazing how our relationship has evolved. I just got out of a relationship, you know, had a girlfriend for about, you know, we dated officially for 2 years and then, you know, we're together for like three, you know.
Wow. Dating. So you're polyamorous as well.
Yes, I was polyamorous. And that just ended, but like, you know, they're still best friends. And we're still cool too, you know, but it was time. But all to say is like we've been in this space for so long and you know, we've been like kind of everybody's therapist as well, you know, in this community. It's like, hey, how are you guys dealing with this? And, you know, there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of people in this space who, let me not even go there. Never mind.
Okay. We can pivot.
Yeah, never mind. Let's pivot. But yeah, we do have like the real world experience of like, hey, we've been in this non-monogamous relationship for a while. We're going to give you advice from that perspective of like, hey, this is what it takes to be in a relationship for over 5 years, you know, in ethically non-monogamous. Here's how we communicate with each other. Here's how we deal with, issues and like if some person lied and like some person, you know, cheated, you know, what does cheating look like in this space now, you know, and how do you heal from that? What's the path to repair? You know, so I'm not perfect. I've made my mistakes, but that's how I learn. That's how, you know, humans learn. Like you got to make a mistake. And, you know, she's made hers as well. Like the skill and the mistakes, you know, baby, you know, it's definitely me making more of the mistakes than her, but you know, she's human as well. I'm human. So we're just giving each other that grace. It's just been beautiful building this community together. It couldn't have happened without her for sure.
Yeah, you guys seem like I didn't see you guys together, but just through like social media, you seem like such this power couple. And so it's really special to create, I'm sure, a business together and then also be like, you know, the lessons you've learned from your personal relationship that you're now taking into the business is like, yeah, like the boundaries, the intentions. Like, I'm sure you learned that through just being in a relationship. This right?
is exactly.
So you're kind of using your lessons to like teach the community.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Cause I think there's, you know, when people get into this space, you know, someone has asked me before, it's like, do you think we should have a sex and relationship coach as we get into this space? I'm like, I mean, you can, you know, but like, my wife and I, we've never had a coach help us in this space. We just leaned on our community to be like, hey, if you join the right community, you know, you could also just ask people their experience. But the cool part about joining these communities is that there's sex and relationship coaches in the community, you know? So if like, if you want to go down that path, like there is somebody, you know? And just recently, like I've leaned on a polyamorous therapist.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I've got a lot going.
Well, when you have multiple relationships at one time,
Jesus like, Christ.
How you do it. I mean, I have my best friend is polyamorous, yeah. So I know how you do it, yeah. But it's also like, it's a lot, you know, it's one of our boundaries is that, you know, I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody, but when it works, it's magic.
It was tough. It was tough. And especially like there's a you know, I was in a hierarchical polyamorous relationship. So we're like, my wife is number one and my girlfriend is not number one. Like I hate saying like secondary. It's like, it's because when you're in the moment with someone, I'm not treating you secondary.
Right.
You know, like when we're with each other, we're with each other. So I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm not going to kiss you like this. This kiss is only reserved for my wife. Like, you know, but Yeah. I've,
but your marriage takes kind of priority.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. It takes priority. So it's
gotta be tough being seen as like second, I'm sure.
But yeah. You know, the tough part is, you know, they're best friends and they're still good friends. I think they're getting like dinner tonight. and so, you know, I think guys are like, oh man, that'd be so cool to have a wife and a girlfriend. It's cool to have a wife and a girlfriend until like they're both talking about your shit, you know, together. Like, y'all are getting dinner about what? You know, like, why am I not at the dinner? Like, what's going on? And then like after the dinner, it's like, oh yeah, she's coming over. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I think there's about to be a threesome. And usually like, how about you have a seat? Why don't you have a seat for a second? Now, we both have experienced X, Y, Z. And here's, you know, so you're getting feedback from two people. And it's like, oh my God. It's like, if you're just getting feedback from one person, it's like, well, maybe that's just your perspective. But when you have like another person there, it's like, oh, we're agreeing on this perspective. It's like two against one. So it definitely has its ups and downs, but.
But then that's when the growth comes and the understanding, I'm sure.
Yeah. You just have to be open to growth. Like I know I'm not going to be right. You know, I'm not, and that doesn't mean I'm wrong. It just means when it comes to interacting with these two individuals, they'll feel more comfortable and honored if I were to act like this, mm-hmm. you know? And so, I don't think it's ever, you know, what I've learned in marriage, it's not about being right. How are we going to be happy together? Right. Mm-hmm. I can be right all the time, but I could be right and single, you know, yeah. Versus I can be open to feedback, whether I agree with it or not. I can be open to the feedback and I can listen to the feedback and I can hold space for the feedback and I can act on the feedback. You know, I can show, hey, I know that rubbed you wrong. You know, if like a big thing for us is if we're going to be out after 2 a.m. there needs to be a check-in mm-hmm. at 2 a.m. of just like, hey, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a text, it's just like, hey, you're not in bed right now. So it's not so much, you know, what we discovered. It's not like, you know, we're mad at each other for being out, having a good time, living in the moment. It's just more of like, hey, I'm your partner. Like, it's past two. I'm just concerned.
You know? Yeah. And I think that's like when you find kind of your boundary and that's like, okay, this is what I need from you. I was in a previous open relationship where I had to tell him, I was like, hey, I just want to hear from you every day. You know, we've been dating for, you know, 8 months and sometimes, you know, going like a day or two without communicating to me is just like tough. Yeah. If I'm in a partnership with you, I want to like, even if it's just a text, I just want to like check in. And so I think it's just like being aware of what you need and being able to
communicate it. Yeah. And being able to communicate it in a way that's receptive towards that other person's the way they learn. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're saying it like aggressively, or it's like, you know, you're saying it when you're stuck in the car with the person, you know, it's like, yo, when's the best time? I know with my wife, like when we're eating, you know, she is happy and she's open for anything, you know, like that's what it is. You know, we go to a nice restaurant. It's like, hey, babe, I want to give you some feedback. Like, I'm open to the feedback, you know, but like, you know, if she's just getting off work and I'm like, hey, I want to talk, like, yo, I just got off work. Right.
Like, that's so true. Like, please. Finding the perfect time to communicate is so important.
Exactly. You can communicate anything peacefully, but if you're doing it during a time where they're not receptive, it doesn't matter if it's peacefully or aggressive. It's just not going to get across.
I remember having a conversation with Hunter, my partner, in the sauna once. I like brought up something and he's like, baby, now is the time for us to meditate and relax. Exactly. I don't want to be talking shit. I don't want you to tell me something, you know, getting all emotional on me. So now I'm in the
sauna just thinking about this. Like,
exactly. Okay. Noted, you know? Yeah. So it's like,
but yeah. I do, you know, I think as ethical non-monogamy and just non-monogamy and play parties, whether you're monogamous, you're just exploring this space, this sex positive space. Mm-hmm. I think it is important for people to do the research, right? Like, you know, I'll tell people that are new to the space, like, hey, why don't you read Polysecure? That may help you understand what you're getting yourself into or what you're looking for or how to define what you're looking for out there. Hey, why don't you talk with this coach? Like, I'm way more for coaching nowadays with people because this space has gotten so big. Mm-hmm. Coming into this blind is wild, right? And I've compared it before to like someone, if you're a basketball player who's going to try to play baseball for the first time, right? You may get a hit, you may get a catch, right? But that doesn't mean you know you have three strikes. You know, the third baseman is giving you all these signs. Like, I have no idea. You don't know that there's nine innings. You know, you don't know how many people are supposed to be out there. Like, that's so when you come to a play party and you're just coming from, you know, going to bars and socials and stuff, you don't know, like, how do you receive a no, right? What does a no look like? Like, that person said maybe. That maybe is actually a no.
Right.
Right. You didn't know that the maybe was a no. You thought it was a maybe. No, in our space, if it's not a enthusiastic yes, it's a no.
Right.
And if they give you the maybe, right, what, how do you reply to that? And that's, you know, what we do in our interview. We're our goal in our interview is to start giving you those tools to be successful in this new culture. Right.
Yeah. You definitely need to educate yourself before you dive in.
Exactly. Always. So when someone says, oh, maybe later, you can be like, hey, thank you for taking care of yourself. It's all good. And then you just gave them a positive experience where they may be open later. But instead of like, oh, hey, maybe later, it's like, oh, OK, I guess just say no. You know, it's like, wait, you're just making this whole, you know, argument now when you could have just said thank you for taking care of yourself and moved on. So I really encourage people to like, do the research before you come into this space. This isn't just like, because we're seeing a lot of like single people now come into this space. And it's like, oh yeah, I do want to go to a sex party. I do want to play. But you're coming in with a taker energy, mm-hmm. not a giver energy, right? You want to come to this space to give to this space, not take away from the space. And if you come in without the tools, then you can come off as if you're taking away from the space when that's not really your intention. What does giving to this space look like? And, you know, working with a coach, reading, you know, books about polyamory or sex positive books, like that can help you understand of how to give to the space. Like, giving to the space could be like, oh, I brought my flogger. Mm-hmm. So now like in the space, like I am giving somebody an experience. And maybe because you did that, like something else happens for you, but you brought something to the space, not just like, oh, I can't wait to find the guy or girl, hook up with them and I'm out, you know? But what about aftercare? That's big in our space, right? Nobody wants to feel like they got used, right? They want to feel like maybe there was a relationship or a friendship that at least happened because we played.
Yeah, pure connection. I mean, we all want that.
Exactly, exactly. And how do you express that in a non-monogamous space, right? Because in a monogamous space, it's you kind of know, like, you know, maybe you do need to send a follow-up text and you know, all these, you know, good morning text the next day. Like in the non-monogamous space, you don't have to send the good morning text the next day. But before you leave, you can just connect with that person. Like, hey, thank you so much for that connection that we had tonight. I really appreciate that. And boom, you don't have to say anything else to them ever again, maybe, you know?
I think the root of it is really like intention. You know, I've been saying that word a lot, but it's like intentionally, if you want to go to a party, if you want to tap into E&M relationships, like, yeah, you have to make the intention to educate yourself, to learn, to know how it works. Because like you said, the vibe is different than the everyday bar.
It's not the bar. It's not the social. It's not the birthday party. Like, this is a play party. People are here to play. Mm-hmm. But how do we do that respectfully? How do we honor people's boundary? How do we ask about boundaries, right? Like, what's the right way to do that? And when should we do that? You know, so.
That's all great advice. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. This has been great, of course. I'm so happy I finally got to do this podcast. And also, I just want to thank you for like holding this space, right? Like these sex positive podcast where you show how easy it is to have these types of conversations, how we're normalizing it right now. Like, this is what is truly shifting the culture as well. So like, thank you for having these spaces. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to share my passion. And putting this kind of energy out into the world.
Yeah. Thank you. That means a lot. I do like to ask my guests the last time they had that sweet release, just because I like to normalize pleasure. Sweet release to me and to us is like an orgasm. So whether it was solo, partnered, any and all details you're willing to share, just to kind of normalize pleasure and make people feel comfortable connecting with that sexual power.
Man. The last time I had the sweet release, I would say, you know, my wife and I had a really amazing session, like, I don't know, a month ago. Mm. You know, we've been super intentional. Like, don't get me wrong, I'll play here and there and go on dates and stuff. But I think when I get chances to, when me and my wife play and we do it with like intention, it's not like the rollover morning sex. Like, I really love those experiences because, you know, we do play parties and like, you know, sex is always around us, but finding those really intimate moments with each other, you know, are awesome. And, you know, there's a difference between having sex and making love. And so, that sweet release with my wife about a month ago, it was like missionary, you know, but like just the intention behind it and, the buildup, you know, the mind, you know, playing with each other's minds prior to, and then
nice.
Us.
So there was some edging involved.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was like, you know, like in a marriage, like, you know, it's like we could play this game for months. So like we had been playing that game. It's like, you know, like, baby, when was the last time like we played, you know? And so I was like, hey, just take your time. It'll happen. She was like, I'm not going to give you a time. We're just going to feel it out. And then like one day it's like everything felt right and the stars aligned. And like, you know, it was awesome. It was a sweet release. And yeah, it was just missionary with some deep eye contact.
Yeah, eye contact is helpful, making it extra sweet. Well, thanks for sharing. Thanks for being vulnerable. And thanks for sharing the play with us. I hope some of my listeners, guys, my sweets, please check out the play. I definitely recommend it. This man is incredible at what he does and his team is amazing. And I hope you guys just get out there and play and always be sweet. Just be sweet to yourselves and be sweet to your partners and just be sweet out there.
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram at theplay.la. We're shadow banned because all the best Instagrams are shadow banned. And then you can check out our website, theplay.la.
Are you planning on expanding to other cities?
Yeah, we're actually supposed to be in London in January. Yeah, we've had a lot of people, you know, we've had people fly in from... I think last year we had like Australia, Canada, London, you know, South America. This thing is expanding. We've had, it's just like how it's expanding is awesome. So we want to do San Diego this year. There's potential for us to go to San Diego. But we are partnering with a brand called Killing Kittens. It's one of like the biggest parties in the UK. So yeah. We're going to, try to do the play in the UK and they're going to try to do Killing Kittens over here. We're going to support each other. And
love that.
Yeah. So
well, I can't wait to watch you grow.
Yeah.
Watch it grow and go to the next ones.
Yes. Yes. The next one is, here's the next three parties. We have, the pajama party, pajama party. It's going to be a mansion party. Our mansion parties are pretty awesome. And also there'll be a sleepover option at that one. So
that's cool.
Go all night. and then after that, one of my favorite parties that I really like, the creative juices have been going crazy for this one. Wet Hot American Summer, July 6th. I don't know if you've seen the movie Heavyweights.
I haven't.
But I think there's another movie or show called Wet Hot American Summer, but it's just like, imagine summer camp vibe. So we're like, when you come there, we're going to divide you into like four different teams. And, you know, we'll have like Girl Scout cookies and there'll be competitions. You know, we'll have like dildos at the bottom of the pool and like you got to race to see how many we can get on each team. I don't know. Well, we're going to have like a bunch of really like fun, competitive, sexy games, a slip and slide, wet t-shirt concert.
I was going to say, there's going to be some wet t-shirts.
Yeah, wet t-shirt competition. We're going to have a wet boxer competition, you know, let's not just make it about the women, you know. So that one I'm really, really excited about. That's July 6th. Then after that, August 3rd, we're going to have Midsummer's Night's Dream at this beautiful mansion in Malibu.
Wow, those are some great ones coming up.
Yeah, we've got some really, really cool. And then that one, with the Midsummer's Night's Dream, I really want to focus on people submitting their fantasies. So like, that's just going to be more of like everybody submitting their fantasies and having like teams of people like, okay, let's just make some fantasies come true tonight.
It's a great idea.
Like, how many fantasies can we really accomplish? And like having people like, hey, I'd like my fantasy come true. Or like, I'd like to help other people's fantasies come true. Like, let's just figure it out and like start knocking out some fantasies here.
Yeah, you know, I love that. Make it a teamwork.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because I think that's my kink. When people are like, hey, what is your kink? Like, my kink is watching someone light up when, you know, something they've always dreamed about or fantasized about, you know, manifest. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, thanks again for being here.
Thank you, Barbie.
So happy to have you. And. Yeah, thanks again. I'll see you again soon.
I hope so. Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.